97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. A lot to break down on the show today. We'll transition into the Ute Preview Show coming up here in about an hour from now. Frank Dolce will stop by. We'll chat some Utah football with him. A lot of college football coming up over this weekend. But time to talk a little NFL. John Breach, kind enough to join us, NFL writer for CBS Sports. Also at the Pick 6 podcast, kind enough, again, to carve out a few moments out of his day. John, how you doing?
Hey, John.
Fantastic.
All right, so let's talk about who's – I know we're only 2 weeks into this thing, but who surprised you so far in the NFL season?
I would say one NFC team is the team that plays tonight, the Carolina Panthers. I think it's been pretty shocking how good they've been. I think that after week one, you know, they beat the Jets and everybody kind of just yawned and said, it's the Jets, who cares, not impressive. But then in week two, they came around and just destroyed the Saints. And then it was like, all right, well, this team might actually be good. And their defense has just been so good. And, you know, they used every single one of their draft picks in 2020 on defensive players. And that was a huge gamble and had never been done before. And now it looks like it's starting to pay off. So the Panthers look really good. And the AFC, I'd say you could go with the Raiders or the Broncos, but I'm going to go with the Raiders because I think their two wins were much more surprising. Against the Ravens, they looked left for dead. They were trailing 14-0. Baltimore is not an easy team to come back on because they can just run all over you and run out the clock. But the Raiders did it. And then the Steelers, you know, they had to fly. The Raiders had to fly cross country, go to Pittsburgh on a short week because they just played on Monday night and nobody really expected them to beat the Steelers. And they won that game. So I think by beating both those teams, feels like the Raiders might stick around and be contenders all season.
I got to agree with you. It's always surprising when the Raiders do anything good. Hey, I wanted to jump over really quick to the Jets and talk about Zach Wilson, a local product. We're all really familiar with him, and it's been a rough start through the first two games. What have you seen from Zach? What are you hearing about Zach Wilson through NFL, kind of the NFL wire? And what do you think about this Jets team with him leading it?
Yeah, I think that, you know, everybody saw last week's game or read the box score and thought, man, this is not good if you're the Jets. You don't want your rookie quarterback throwing four interceptions against in any game. But, you know, the whole rookie year is a learning curve. I actually didn't think Zach Wilson played horribly or he was as bad as his numbers suggested last week. Look, the Jets are not a good team. They don't have a very good offensive line, which is what you absolutely need if you're a rookie quarterback. He doesn't have a lot of people to throw to. I mean, he has Corey Davis, but Jamison Crowder was on the COVID list. And, you know, the defense isn't doing much to help them out. So it's just – it's not a great situation, but, you know, they have a new coach, and Robert Saleh wants to win, and he's a very good coach as defensive coordinator with the 49ers. And so all they really need to do is build around him, and that's going to take a year or two. So I don't think that, you know, just if you're a Zach Wilson fan, you shouldn't have extraordinarily high expectations for the rest of the season because it's not going to be pretty. But, you know, I've seen enough of him. I think he can be good at the NFL level, you know, but I don't think the Jets are going to win 7 or 8 games this year. It's probably going to be in the 3-5 range, and he's going to go through some growing pains.
Urban Meyer, obviously, was the coach here. Now we're coming up at almost 20 years ago at the University of Utah. Turned this program around, and everywhere he's been a winner. But I don't know, man. I don't think I don't see this Jacksonville team winning games here anytime soon. How big of a heavy lifting job is ahead of Urban in this Jacksonville coaching staff?
Yeah, he definitely looks like he's in over his head. I mean, just the quote that came out this week about him saying every – NFL game feels like he's playing Alabama is, you know, when he was at Ohio State, Florida, you're on the field, you have the best players in most games you're playing in because you recruited all the best players. And so it's a little easier to win. All of a sudden you're in the NFL where your team is either maybe as good as the other team, but probably not because it's Jacksonville. And, you know, maybe he thought Trevor Lawrence would be able to come in there and make that team competitive instantly, but that just hasn't happened. And so, as someone who has not experienced a lot of losing, you know, you mentioned all the success at Utah with Alex Smith and before that Bowling Green, two smaller schools at the time that weren't Power 5 schools. And he just went in there and revamped those programs right away. And I think he's realizing that you can't do that in the NFL. You can't just turn these teams around in 1 year. So I don't know how much longer. It just feels like all the losses are going to wear on him is what it feels like. And I don't know how much longer he's going to last in the NFL.
Well, I mean, you know, USC's not bad, and he could be there next year and turn that program around pretty quick.
Absolutely. I'm waiting for the Bobby Petrino situation. We saw him do it with the Falcons in 2000. Just leave a letter in everyone's locker room in, like, week eight and then dip out and say, all right, guys, I'll be in Southern California if you need me.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers' situation. I saw some of the comments coming from his former tight end, JerMichael Finley, going after his grit and determination to still be an NFL quarterback and kind of attacking his heart and then doubled down and said, be ready for Jordan Love week four. But then you see Aaron Rodgers come out and have an incredible performance. Where does Green Bay end up? And do you believe that Aaron Rodgers has a lot more to show and prove through this season?
Yeah, I think he has a lot more to show. I think that there's a little bit of a history with JerMichael Finley and Aaron Rodgers for whatever reason, because if there is – whatever Aaron Rodgers has a down week or a down couple of weeks, the first person that comes out of the woodwork to comment on it is usually JerMichael Finley for whatever reason, and they're usually not positive comments. You know, him talking about Jordan Love playing by week four was ridiculous. You know, even if the Packers had lost Monday night to the Lions, they were not going to bench Aaron Rodgers. It just wasn't going to happen. And so, obviously, that was good to get that win out of the way, because there definitely would have been some panic in Green Bay if they had lost on Monday, but they didn't. So now you're completely recalibrated. You start looking ahead on the schedule, and you say, all right, if we beat the 49ers, all of a sudden we're one of the probably top five or six teams in the NFC. So I think the Packers are fine right now. You know, I think I predicted them to go to the Super Bowl in the preseason, and I don't feel dumb for making that prediction just yet. Now, you know, if they go out and lose in the next 3 weeks, maybe the panic sets in. But I thought they looked good against the Lions, and what they did against Detroit was a lot of what they did last year with their offense. Their defense, a little worried about that because they haven't been able to stop anyone. But hopefully they can get that fixed up in the next few weeks.
After this week, most likely the Broncos will be 3-0 as they've got the Jets. Is that a sign that the Broncos are improved, or is it just a byproduct of who they played the first 3 weeks of the season?
Yeah, that's one of those. I think Denver has absolutely played well. Like, Teddy Bridgewater has been playing out of his mind. I don't think anyone thought he was going to come out and do what he did. But it's kind of hard to gauge just how good they are because, you know, they beat the Giants. I think most teams could have in the – the AFC West could have beaten the Giants, you know, and then Jacksonville, and then the Jets this week. So I think if you put a good team and give them those three opening games, they start 3-0. But a big part of the NFL is, you know, you got to win the games you're supposed to win. And that's not easy. That's why there's any given Sunday. You see upsets happen all the time. And so, hey, 3-0 is 3-0. We might only have two 3-0 teams come next week. It could be the Broncos and the winner of this Rams-Buccaneers game. So it's nothing to sneeze at. You got to like this. And I've been impressed with Denver. I think the AFC West could get a little bit crazy because there are four good teams in that division. I thought the Chargers were going to be the second-best team, and now they're looking like the worst team. So I think that one's going to be up for grabs, and I think the Broncos and Raiders will both be playoff contenders into December.
That AFC North division's interesting. Cleveland Browns, they suffer a loss in the first week. They get one back this last weekend. But how good do you think the Cleveland Browns can be? They've got the Bears coming up this weekend. And just curious to get your thoughts on where they finish in the AFC North.
Yeah, the Browns look really good. Look, they came out and played a fantastic game against Kansas City. It's just sad that they basically lost that because their punter couldn't catch a long snap. Kind of fumbled that away, and then the game turned around and Kansas City ended up winning. But the Browns look so good, it's scary. I think that we haven't seen a Cleveland team coming into the season with high expectations in about 30 years. So you have no idea how they're going to handle it, and they've looked good so far. You know, they handled the Texans. I think they should be able to beat the Bears. They don't really have any – their schedule is pretty favorable compared to the rest of the teams in the AFC North. That, you know, I could see them. They got the Bears and the Vikings, the Chargers, all very winnable games. And they have a stretch in the season where they play four straight games at home, which is a very rare thing to see in the NFL. And then you look at the rest of the teams in that division, they all have huge question marks. The Bengals are the Bengals. The Steelers dealing with Ben Roethlisberger's being old and always being injured. We don't know how serious T.J. Watt's groin injury is. And obviously the Ravens are on about their fifth-string running back. And if anything happens to Lamar Jackson, that team is done for the season. So the Browns feel like the AFC North frontrunner right now.
What do you expect? I know he's played a little bit here and there, but what do you expect out of Justin Fields in his first start?
I don't know. He played against the Bengals. We had to go in after Andy Dalton went down. He showed a couple flashes. He had a huge run on third and nine that iced the game, but the game would not have needed to been ice if he had not thrown an ugly interception the possession before that. So there's definitely going to be a learning curve there. I don't think he is going to put up huge numbers. You know, the Bears offense isn't as high powered as a few other offenses, or, you know, if he was playing for Andy Reid or something, I could see this being a huge debut, but I don't think he's going to do anything that's going to blow us away. And I think what Bears fans want to see is to wake up Monday morning and know that Justin Fields played well enough that Matt Nagy's going to say, all right, this is our guy. This is our starting quarterback for the rest of the season, but I'm not sure he's going to play well enough for that to happen. So, you know, I think he'll eventually get there, but I don't think he's going to play that well in his first start.
You know, I think that it's been really interesting, the start of this NFL season, and I wanted to get your thoughts on how much of a conscious decision this is. I think everything that the NFL does is conscious decision, but there really has not been a lot of political confusion attached to the NFL. You know, there's some things that are going on with COVID and those that don't get vaccinated and those, but they've kind of buried those stories. They've certainly buried a lot of the voices, the political voices that have polarized the NFL. They've really embraced military, had a great 9/11 service through that Sunday, through that weekend. How much have they tried to slow down all the political take and tried to make it more about football? Or am I just misreading that?
I mean, I think they've definitely tried to make it more about football. I don't think you're misreading that. But there's also, you know, the end zone still say end racism. You can still put decals on player helmets. But I think a part of it is just the fact that Donald Trump's not in office anymore. And I think that was kind of, you know, it felt like a lot of players were kind of offended by what he stood for. And that made them more vocal about supporting these causes out front. And that's not to say these players aren't supporting him anymore. It's just that the players don't seem as vocal, you know, but granted, there are plenty of guys who aren't getting jobs, the Eric Reeds of the world, who were very vocal. And that's probably playing a reason, part of the reason that they're not able to. So it definitely does feel like the NFL is trying to say, all right, let's just focus on the football. And, you know, it's working for them right now.
Well, hey, fun conversation, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. And let's do it again soon.
Yep. Thanks for having me, guys.
John Breach, NFL writer for CBS Sports. Great podcast, too, the Pick 6 podcast as well. Just search for that and get that wherever you enjoy your podcast. But fun conversation for sure.